Hi, I'm Allison, and I'm at the Tasting Room at Noon Whistle Brewing in Lombard, and you're listening to Outside the Loop, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine.
Thank you very much. Big shout out to all the good folks at Noon Whistle in Lombard. And I think they have a location in Naperville now, but they make some good stuff. So good on Noon Whistle. Good morning. Welcome to Outside the Loop. Yes, this is Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine. I am Mike Steven. This is show number 772. And what we do here on this program is take a look at local issues and topics that don't always get mainstream media attention. Say hello online, on Twitter, at Outside the Loop, on Facebook, on Instagram, and download the podcast of this show. The podcast is completely free. Wherever you get your podcasts these days, that's where you can find Outside the Loop. And for the extensive audio archives, WGNRadio.com and OutsideTheLoopRadio.com for the 15 years worth of the OTL audio archives. Bob Ferguson is our engineer in the studio this morning. Colin Seaman is the producer of the show. Hello, Colin.
Hello, Mike. Good morning.
Good morning to you. You're not at Lollapalooza, are you?
I am not a lollipop, no.
Is that what they're called?
That's what I'm calling them. I just, you know, lollipops. I just, that's what I was going with.
I see it. I don't know. In a normal year, I'm like, I don't know if I really want to go to Lollapalooza. And by the way, I love to go see live music. I haven't been able to for a long time, obviously, but I love live music. That is like three levels beyond what, I don't know, I might be comfortable with in a normal year. And now we've got this Delta variant out there, so I'm not going.
Well, I think you sound like you got your old man pants on, Mike. I'm going to be honest.
I do. My pants, my old man flannel shirt. Mm-hmm. When it's, you know, 85 degrees outside, I'm wearing that. So, and I can get off my lawn.
You spoke earlier about going back and listening to the 15 years of programming. I dare say a younger Mike Steven, a young whippersnapper of an audio documentarian, might be at Lollapalooza this year.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Boy, I'm 41 now, so I have to think back. I started the show when I was 26. Maybe. I just, that was never my scene. That, like, that level of, like, crowd intensity and the music, that's a whole different thing. Like, cool, I love to go see a bunch of bands, but I think it's just great. And I also think in 2006 that Lollapalooza might have been slightly smaller, right? Hasn't it grown?
I mean, I think so. I'm thinking you would have gone because you would have wanted to talk to people who needed to get their music festival in despite the pandemic. You would have sort of found an angle there.
Yeah, I kind of still want to do that, but I'm not taking any chances these days. But you know what? That's just me. Old man pants, old man flannel with a down coat and a stocking hat in 80 degree weather.
I don't know about the hat. The hat's a lot.
We have a good show for you today. Speaking of music, we have some music. We'll be hearing from Dina Bach, friend of this show. She is a local singer-songwriter, and she has some new music out and a record release show coming up. I should say as a single release show, because she has a new single that recently was released. Also, again, music themed, the secret history of Chicago music. We will learn about someone by the name of Joe Cassidy, who passed away recently, who was really instrumental in the Chicago music scene. And we will check in with some folks from the North Lawndale neighborhood to see how that community is working on engaging each other to help reduce violence in the community. So it's an action-packed show. Enjoy Lollapalooza if you're going. That's okay. No judgment here. I'll be in my old man garb. And please stay off the lawn. A new analysis by the University of Chicago Crime Lab shows that last year in Chicago was one of the most violent years on record. The city saw some of its neighborhoods bearing disproportionate rates of gun violence. Rashona Fitzpatrick is the executive pastor at the Stone Temple Missionary Baptist Church in North Lawndale. And those folks over at that church are part of a community of people who are working to better the North Lawndale community. And Pastor Rashona is here with us once again on Outside the Loop. Pastor Rashona, nice to talk to you again.
It's nice to talk to you again also, Mike. Thank you for having me.
You are quite welcome. So the last time you and I talked was back in March of this year. And we talked about how, boy, North Lawndale finally got garbage cans, which at one, you know, on one hand is like, well, wait a second, shouldn't every neighborhood have garbage cans? North Lawndale does now, which is great. But I just want to talk to you in sort of a check-in here in general, because we're hearing a lot about violent crime. We're hearing specifically about gun violence in Chicago. How are things going when we talk about that topic when it pertains to North Lawndale?
So in recent days, Mike, there's been an uptick in the violence, gun violence in the North Lawndale community. Mm-hmm. And it stems from a lot of things, right? It stems from trauma, from fear, from the disinvestment that this community has experienced for 50 plus years. It stems from lack of resources or resources going into the wrong hands, not being utilized for the intended purposes. It stems from lack of communication with people in the community. And, you know, there's a song that I really love, and the song is called "These Are the People in Your Neighborhood." Mm-hmm. It's from not knowing the people in your neighborhood and building relationships and sharing resources and helping where help can really be effective. And what we really, really need to do in our community, and it's something that we're starting, is coming together and doing community gatherings where we are talking to one another, not just talking about the issues, but talking about resolutions to the issues. And there are a lot of young people that are extremely misguided. And instead of complaining about them, we need to begin to have conversations, intergenerational conversations about, here's this one word that seems so strange. How can we help ATLP? Because what we really need is to help one another operate in what I have labeled and claimed and called the spirit of community, unity.
You know, what you're talking about is community engagement, right? I mean, you talk about getting to know people in your neighborhood, and that doesn't happen sometimes in whatever neighborhood we're talking about here, but just getting to know your neighbors, getting to know their needs, their worries, their concerns, I think is really important. And that's what you're talking about here. But also to come up with a plan to engage folks wherever they're at. You know, in terms of solving these problems, it's really easy to say we're going to punish people. But it's more difficult to meet them where they're at and say, okay, how can we make this a better situation for everybody? And that's really what I'm hearing is going on in North Lawndale.
Absolutely. I remember preaching a sermon, and I asked the congregants, why do you think people sell drugs? And everybody kind of looked kind of strange. And so I answered the question, it's because they want to eat, they want to survive, they want to live, and that's all that they know. So if we give them something else, if we provide something else in our community, if we begin to operate from a place of development and social enterprises and help, again, there goes that word. It probably seems like a curse word to some people because they feel like people in our community are beyond help. But that's so sad for people to think like that, because that is definitely opposite of true. While we're in our community, what can we do to create another space to assist our young people? Because a lot of what is happening is occurring with our young people because they're are no avenues by which they can be transformed into who they really may want to become.
And in terms of that help, I mean, I know your church in North Lawndale, the Stone Temple Missionary Baptist Church, you are involved in events and programming, and that's really what we're seeing across the board in North Lawndale, people getting together, having events, having conversations, and really the goal here is maybe to even try to influence our elected officials to say, we need some more opportunities here, and we're working towards it. And I think that's really important, is that you're working to help yourselves, right? Yes, it'd be great to get some assistance from the city, but you are actively working to make North Lawndale a better place.
Absolutely. On Sundays, Michael, we come out and we partner with community organizations. And what we do is we have what's called the Pop-Up Spot Museum. So we'll come out with the Pop-Up Spot Museum, Mr. Jonathan Kelly, Chelsea Rowley, and we will blow the Lawndale from Central Park to Millard. We'll have all kinds of activities where young people can come. It's intergenerational. There's food there. There's music and activities. And we have so much fun. And the people in the community started off kind of slow, right? But when people really realized how much fun we were having, music, food, activities, giveaways, people started to come out. And it's been beautiful. Now, what if every block in this community will come out on a Sunday to what we call our health and wellness Sundays and become a part of this? You get to know one another. You get to build relationships. And then you get to share whatever it is that you can bring to the table to magnify the good that is being done already. It will overpower any problems. It will overpower any evil. It will overpower any violence. But you got to come together and you got to come out. And you got to eliminate the fear and the trauma. You have to deal even with the trauma. We even have medical professionals out there. So just in case someone wants to talk to a therapist, they're there. There's a lot of trauma that's not being addressed, and it keeps compounding each time there is another act of violence in our community. And we need to begin to address it. And the only way we're going to combat this hatred, this negativity that we experience in our community is by loving one another, coming into places and spaces where people feel safe, where people can share what's on their heart and get some relief, or I call it help.
Amen to all that. I mean, really, I think that's a really important message to hear, especially because the messages that were largely fed in newspapers and the headlines is just the negative, right? The violence. And yes, that is a problem. We should acknowledge that. But we should also acknowledge that there are many people within the community of North Lawndale and other neighborhoods in Chicago who are working to make their neighborhood a better place. Rashorna Fitzpatrick is the executive pastor at the Stone Temple Missionary Baptist Church in North Lawndale. Pastor Rashorna, it's always a pleasure talking with you, and I look forward to when we can check in the next time.
Great. Awesome. Amazing. And listen, if people want to come out Sunday, we will be having a flower giveaway to the people in the community who have lost someone during these trying times from 2020 to the present. And we're going to have a wraparound and hold hands and say prayers for our community. So come out on Sunday at 1 o'clock at the historic Stone Temple Church. We'll be in the boulevard just having a time together where we can get to know the people in our neighborhood.
Rashorna, I love it. Thank you so much for talking today.
Peace and blessings, Mike. Enjoy. Take care of your family.
Live music is making a comeback, and hey, if you are reluctant to go to that giant gig downtown called Lollapalooza this weekend, well, there are other local options for you. Dina Bach is a local singer-songwriter, and she has performed live on this very show, most recently back in 2018. Take a listen to this.
It was a Friday night, smack dab right there in the middle of summer. I was heading downtown, just me and my friends, ready for a good time. We were kicking it back. back, laying low, standing on the grass where the music grows.
She sounds so good, and she has a new single out right now, and hey, some upcoming gigs as well. All very exciting news. DinaBach.com is her website, and she is here with us on Outside the Loop again. Dina, welcome back. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you so much. Very nice talking to you.
So,
it's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. 2018, but every time you're in the studio, you sound great. And lots going on in your world here with the new single, and we'll talk about that. But I think the biggest thing is that you are getting back out there. You are performing live. How the heck, as an artist who's doing this full time now, how did you survive the whole lockdown that we all had to go into?
Oh gosh. Well, I think for everybody, that time period was a big struggle, right? Everybody kind of dealt with it in different ways. And unfortunately, as an artist, everything shut down, and, you know, I make my living on full-time performing. And so it was a rough year and a half. I'm really thankful though, because right when patio season opened back up in Chicago, I was able to get outside and still perform quite a bit over the summer. So, you know, that saved me a lot.
Right. And I think it's nice with your setup. I mean, pretty much you play the piano and you're a vocalist. So in terms of your setup, you know, it's not a lot, which is nice. And you can definitely hit those gigs that are patio friendly for you. And I got to think again, like when we saw outdoor dining come back and outdoor bars, I mean, that I was, you know, I follow you on social media and you were hitting all those up.
Yeah, I'm so thankful. I know I really felt for a lot of the bands and acts that are touring a little bit more nationally right now, because everything shut down and those big venues all shut down. And I was thankful to still be able to play some of the local spots and the bars and restaurants that were still hosting music outside. So, you know, that saved me, and I'm so thankful. You know, I got to take a little bit of a breather, a break. I had such a busy schedule, and I was going into 2020 having that be my biggest year yet, with the most shows and bigger opportunities. And when everything shut down, you know, it was kind of a reset, which I think was good in a lot of ways for a lot of people, and a time to kind of sit back and reflect and, you know, decide which direction to go and what to do next. So, you know, I took it as, I try to see the positive of everything, even in a terrible situation. So yeah, I'm thankful for how I got to spend some of that time.
And you're coming back in a big way. I mean, you just played, I think it was recently, City Winery in Chicago, right?
Yes, very grateful for that. I got to open for Journeyman and Eric Clapton tribute band at City Winery Chicago. And City Winery is one of my favorite venues to go see live music. Any listening room like that is just amazing in my book. And that was rescheduled twice, actually, because of the pandemic. So finally, thankfully, we got to go and play. I played as a duo and opened up with all original music two nights in a row. So a Thursday and a Friday night. And it was great.
That is great. City Winery is a great venue in the West Loop. And let's talk about the newest event in your world right now, the new single that's out right now called Light a Match. We could go to the website. Tell us how we can find the single and take it in.
Yeah, it's everywhere, anywhere and everywhere there's streaming. So DinaBach.com is my website, and you can find it there. It's on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, anywhere that you stream or listen to music. You can download it. You could buy it online. I'm pretty excited. It's been a long time coming. I haven't released music since 2018, and that was the full album. So I did this writing project where I wrote, you know, 98 songs in 98 weeks, right, and posted videos. That was my Music Monday project. And so I had all this material, and I've been wanting to get back in the studio and start recording, and that kind of got put on a halt with COVID. So I'm really, really happy to finally have released this one. And I worked on this one for quite a while, actually. I did a lot of behind the scenes after I wrote it. I wrote it years ago. I did some kind of pre-production work with my drummer, Mike Charbonneau, and we put together kind of a different version of this song than how I wrote it, and different instrumentation. And we brought it to Colin Peterick, who is at the Jam Lab in Brookfield, Illinois. Mm-hmm. And he just basically took everything, every idea, and brought it to life.
I bet my number saved, you're waiting for my call. I bet our picture is still hanging on your wall. You leave the key under the mat out front in case. I bet you tell our friends we're on a little break.
And I'm pretty excited about how it came out. It's definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I'm a little biased, but
of course you are. So you were having a sort of a single release celebration party, and you have some other gigs coming up. Tell us what's on the horizon here.
Yes, I've got lots of gigs coming up. I'm happy to have a full schedule. August 7th is a Saturday. I'm going to do the single release that day in Elmwood Park, and that's at a place called Donnie G's Restaurant. Mm-hmm. And we'll do the duo for that. And I'll actually have some physical copies of the single, because I still get asked. It's so funny with all the streaming. A lot of my fans still like having that hard copy, you know, whether sure. they throw it in their car or just to keep it as a, you know, a keepsake souvenir. So I did print some digital or some physical copies, and I'll have those available there. I have a lot of shows coming up. I'm actually, I haven't announced this yet, but I guess this could be the first announcement that this band that I opened for at City Winery, Journeyman, they are fabulous, and they've asked me to come tour with them to do some singing.
Wow.
So I'm going to be traveling to a bunch of new cities and new theaters that I've never played, and be jumping on a few shows with them, New York and Pennsylvania, Ohio, all these amazing theaters. So you can check out, I'll have those dates posted on my calendar at dinabach.com starting next week. So
that's so great. I mean, you're going out there, you're doing this, and I know that we've talked about this before, but now you are doing music full time. You are, I mean, once a teacher, always a teacher, right? Fellow educator. And mm-hmm. you've now sort of transitioned into this full time music business. So, which is exciting and great, but also kind of scary, especially after the last year that we've gone through, right?
Yes, I know. And everything was going strong for about 3 years full time for me. And then COVID happened. And it is scary, because when you're the one making your own schedule and kind of flying by the seat of your pants, trying to book shows and write music and release music and do it all, it is scary when the whole world sort of shuts down.
Yeah.
But it's been about 4 years now full time. So I am grateful to be doing music full time now.
Well, everyone should check out your website, dinabach.com, and all of your streaming platforms. You're everywhere. You're on social media, and your calendar is online as well. So many good things in your world right now, Dina, and excited to hear more music in the future. Again, Dina Bach is a local singer-songwriter. Check out that website, dinabach.com. Dina, great talking to you. Thanks for chatting today.
Thank you so much, Mike. It was great talking again.
Occasionally in the Chicago Reader, you will see the column, The Secret History of Chicago Music. It is hand-drawn by local musician, music historian, and artist Plastic Crime Wave. He's also known as Steve Krakow. This strip profiles a local musician or a band who never quite made it to the big time. So right now, let's dim those lights. Let's fire up the old hi-fi as we travel to Chicago's Ukrainian Village neighborhood and enter
The Secret History of Chicago Music.
Stop, you've got to find her.
Yes, once again, dialing up across town to connect to the lair of an apartment of one Mr. Steve Krakow, also known as Plastic Crime Wave. And Steve, this one, kind of a somber tone we are striking today. We are remembering I mean, just someone in the Chicago music scene who is a pretty substantial part of it, a pretty big deal. His name is Joe Cassidy, and he played in bands, but he also did a lot behind the scenes, didn't he?
Yeah, he was a real, I mean, he was a Belfast, Ireland boy, but he lived in Chicago for like over a decade. Went to LA, came back here, he really loved it here, and yeah, just, it would be in, to possibly be able to say all the pies he had his hands in would be almost impossible. As far, he was like managing bands, he was producing people, he was doing his own stuff, he was working on multiple projects with other local musicians that we may never know about, or, you know, may surface later. You know, he was just that kind of guy, and doing favors all the time for people too, like, hey, could you just mix this for me real quickly, and he would do it, you know. So it just a huge part of the local scene and international, you know, music scene.
Yeah, so Joe Cassidy, again, born in Northern Ireland in 1969, and we should mention that he did pass away on July 15th, so fairly recently. I know, Steve, you were at the memorial, and you were talking to a bunch of people who knew him, and you knew him for a long time. I mean, he was, you know, into kind of the same music, you know, that you are, kind of like your psychedelic music that you love so much and the stuff that you produce. So he was really an important part of your musical evolution too.
He was. I met him, as far as I can tell, in a year 2000, which, you know, it's 20 years ago now. It's insane. Not, you know, if you're a Generation Z, you're just getting born or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, we had, like, crossover. Like, I mean, he had already, you know, he had done Peel sessions and stuff like that and put out stuff on multiple big labels and stuff by the time I met him. But yeah, he really indulged me, you know. I mean, I guess I had people laughing at the memorial, which I think he would have wanted. I was like, he was out of my league, you know. It was like when you dated someone who you knew was out of your league a little bit, but you were just kind of along for the ride and like, wow, this is great, you know. And he really, like, you know, I had recorded like a single and recorded an unreleased thing in a friend's project studio by the time I met him, and that's it. And, you know, he had like a project studio in his home in Logan Square at that time too, but it was just a real introduction to how things were done, you know, and what you could do in a studio for me. And he did, like, you know, of course, I've been going and assessing it all, and almost five or six records with me, you know. Wow. And kind of crazy, three or four of which came out. One was like half a record that I ended up putting out just a couple of years ago, recently, like a solo thing. That's when we met. He was recording a solo thing of mine in like 2001. I was like, you totally understand weird psychedelic music. You know how to produce record. You're my guy, you know. And I didn't know anyone else who could do it, you know. So, like, and just a sweet guy. I mean, you know, as I said in my thing, I was so broke too, and he, like, you know, he's doing like string arrangements for big commercials and, you know, headline opening for New Order at the Metro, and then I'm trading him Star Wars figures for studio time so that because he was a big collector, he had the rare, so he didn't need my stuff, but he's like, oh, sure, I'll take some more figures, you know. I'll have some for display, you know. He didn't need them, you right. know, but he's just a sweetie, and I loved hanging out at his place. I loved his dog, and yeah, anytime I had a question, you know, about anything in the music biz, I could ask him anything, you know, publishing, how to contact someone at a label to get a preview of an album I'm reviewing for the reader, anything, you know. He just knew. And it was great while we were doing studio time. I could always just, any late 80s or early 90s band you wanted some dirt on, he had it.
Yeah.
You would just, I'd be like, the Cranberries. He's like, oh, man, I kind of dated a singer for a bit. I was like, what? You know, and he just had stories upon stories upon stories. And he wasn't the guy who flossed him. You had to pull him out of him, and you'd be like, holy cow, you know. And yeah, just, right. just an amazing human being, as well as just, you know, just to watch his music grow from the earliest days on was this incredible evolution, too.
Yeah, let's talk about the bands that he was in. I mean, pretty much the one that was in, I think, the longest, if I'm getting this right, this band Butterfly Child. Is that right?
Yeah, Butterfly Child is sort of like, I likened it originally to both T-Rex and Alice Cooper in my thing, in that it was a band, but then he just sort of became Butterfly Child, much like Mark Bolan became T-Rex,
right.
And, you know. Vincent Furnier became Alice Cooper. He's that. Oh, there's Alice Cooper. Here he comes, you know. But no, it was a band. But it was like a character he created when he was like 6 years old in the garden. Again, he wrote like a story about it when he was a kid or something. So I guess as far as I can tell, the first thing released was like 1991.
So, I mean, he's been Joe Cassidy here, just so deep into the music scene. And again, here in Chicago, I think to your earlier point, you know, you've worked with him a ton, but he's worked with so many other musicians and people like this. I mean, you don't ever hear about it. I mean, unless you're in that sort of musical circle, you know, I mean, like he did everything for everybody. And, you know, if you're a musician, or you are in the industry in Chicago, Joe Cassidy. Oh, yeah, right, of course. Love Joe.
Yeah, it's funny because, yeah, he moved it here because he just had an opportunity to record here. He moved Butterfly Child here, and he hired all these musicians in Chicago to sort of, like, play on his record. And it ended up being this, like, who's who of Chicago people. Like, a few even reached out to me, like, this fellow Nick McCree, who is now, like, completely in-demand session guy, played on a zillion records, has a bunch of his own projects. He's like, I was nobody when Joe hired me, you know, to like play in Butterfly Child. And I remember seeing that show, actually. I think it was at Subterranean, perhaps. It was somewhere in when Wicker Park was cool.
yeah.
And, you know, I hadn't even realized that, you know, because I just accepted Nick as his presence. And we both went to school in Champaign. He had kind of big bag bands down there, too. So I didn't really I just thought, oh, he just came to Chicago and just did cool bands right away. No, you know, it's like some people are sort of like this gateway, you know, and it's funny when my sadly, when my other music scene friend died early in the year, Alejandro Morales, you know, I sort of likened him to this George Bailey and It's a Wonderful Life. I'm like, if he was gone, well, that nightmare world where all these things wouldn't have connected and happened. But Joe had that even more going for him. You know, I could almost never put it into words, like the world that he literally saved people's lives, you know, as wow. far as musicians who went on crazy benders and went under, I won't name names. He like helped people. He was that kind of guy.
Well, it's a sad story here that he passed away at the age of 51, Joe Cassidy, on July 15th. But we're keeping the music alive and his memory alive. And you can check out ChicagoReader.com for the strip, The Secret History of Chicago Music. Or pick up a hard copy of the Chicago Reader. Steve Krakow is the author of this strip. And Steve, again, I'm sorry for this loss. May his memory be a blessing. And he's making music somewhere in the far beyond reaches of this dimension.
There will be more coming too. There will be like he had several albums completed, his own, this band Assassins he played here with. He had another project going with a guy from Assassins called Batbirds that was just completed. So like the music, it, not only will it live on, there is going to be more. And when they get in that guy's hard drive, I cannot imagine what is going to be working in there. So you'll be hearing more.
Okay. Okay, so this is where the wrap party usually is. But hey, look, it's the summertime. It's hot outside. We're going to just take a week off here when it comes to the wrap party. Wrap party needs a break, a little summer vacation. So as the wrap party suns itself on a beach somewhere, just know that it will be back in the very near future. And hey, that's the quickest wrap party ever here on Outside the Loop, show number 772. Wrap party. Thank you so much for listening to the show this week. Thanks to Colin for producing. Thanks to Bob Ferguson for being our engineer. Have a fantastic week. I'll talk to you again next time right here on Outside the Loop on 720 WGN.